Let's turn again to that passage that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it is the last two verses of the chapter that I want to take as our text this morning. Paul says in the verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Paul's exhortation to Timothy in the last two verses of this letter were not only a timely warning to Timothy as a minister of Christ, they were and they are a perpetual caution for the church in every generation of time. The oppositions of science undermine the faith of some, causing them to err from the truth and from the faith and the doctrine of the gospel and the word of God. There's a very important connection to be recognized in these verses. I want you to notice here how he talks about the oppositions of science, falsely so called, false science. And the result of that is erring from the faith. I want you to notice this connection. It's a little bit like cause and effect. The cause is the oppositions of false science, and the effect is that it has caused some to err from the faith, or to err concerning the faith. And when faith has the definite article before it, the faith, it's not talking about our subjective faith, the gift of faith with which we believe, but it's talking about the object of faith, the body of truth that our faith is focused on. The faith is the doctrine of God's Word. It is the teaching of Scripture. And here Paul has recognized something that he wanted Timothy to beware of, and something that the church should be cautious of in every generation: false science leading to error, leading, causing some to err from the faith. Some who have professed the faith to err from the faith, to err concerning the faith. Now, the pattern that the apostle illustrates identifies the reason why modern British society and British culture has abandoned the faith of the Bible. I don't think I need to prove that this morning. I think it is self-evident across the nation that there has been a vast turning away from the Bible. The nation, by and large, does not believe the Bible. That is why the vast majority in the nation are not found in the house of God. They're not found coming to hear the Word of God. They do not believe the Bible any longer. I was in Aberdeen on Friday night and I passed by Bury Den Road. And I was amazed to see the number of cars in the car park. Every space was filled. Hundreds of cars on a Friday evening. Why? They were at bingo. The bingo hall was packed to capacity. The car park filled. And yet, churches, places where the Word of God is preached, are by and large struggling with dwindling numbers. Why is that? The nation has turned away from the Bible. It has turned away from God. It has turned away from the truth of the gospel. And the reason why, a large part of the reason why, is found in this verse. the oppositions of science, falsely so called. We must not fail to see that the rise of the modern evolutionary theory during the last 150 years has caused multitudes to turn away from the message of the Bible. People do not believe the Bible today because they think that science has disproved and therefore discredited the message of the Bible. The Bible teaches that the world was created by God in 6 days, a relatively short time ago, about 6,000 years. But science has proved that the world is billions of years old, and although estimates vary, the general consensus is that the world began 4.5 billion years ago, and began to form about 3.9 billion years ago. Now, the consequence of that claim is that the modern evolutionary humanistic movement claims that the Bible is wrong. And multitudes have swallowed this claim. They've turned away from the Bible. We've got to see the reality of the situation. But we've got to see it in light of what Paul says here. The oppositions of science. But notice how he adds this little description at the end. The oppositions of science, falsely so called. This is false science. They are oppositions, objections, that are claimed to be science, claimed to be scientific, but in reality they are not. It is false science. And we've got to recognize this charge that Paul makes. Because if we do not recognize it, we will fall into the category of those who have erred concerning the faith. There are many believers, many professing believers, who have struggled greatly because of the so-called scientific evidence that is produced to disprove and discredit the teaching of the Bible concerning the creation of the world. But I think we should see this morning. And this is what I want to emphasize here. Paul says this is science that is falsely so called. It's falsely called science. Because in the first place, science cannot determine the origin or the age of the earth. The word science means knowledge. That's what the word science means. And according to the Oxford Dictionary, it is systematic and formulated knowledge. Knowledge that is obtained by observation and by experimentation. Now, based upon that definition, science cannot prove either the origin of this world nor how old it is. I want you to see that. And yet that's exactly what we're being told today. Science has proved how this world originated with a big bang. Science has proved how old the earth is and the universe. But science can do neither of those things. For the simple reason that no scientist observed the origin of the universe, nor the length and the age of its duration. If, as they allege, this universe is billions of years old, has anyone been around long enough to observe it? Can they put it to the test, experiment with it, and show their findings, their conclusions by experimentation? It cannot be done. And yet they come along and they say to us quite categorically, quite dogmatically, that this world is billions of years old. The evidence, they say, comes from their methods of dating rocks and fossils. And they tell us that they're able to calculate just how old this world is because they can take a piece of rock and experiment with it, and from that they can tell us how old it is, and they can deduce just how old this world is. But remember what Paul says, the oppositions of science, falsely so called. I want to say this morning that all the dating methods that they can produce cannot tell us the age of this universe. For the simple reason they've proven to be unreliable. Whether it's carbon dating of certain rocks or the radiometric method which measures the decay of elements in rocks, they cannot be relied upon for the simple reason that no dating method can measure age. You take a rock, and what they do is they say in a rock or a bone, whatever it may be, there's two types of carbon. And when that animal dies, there's one type of carbon that remains at the same level, but there's another type of carbon that begins to decrease, and it's affected and it turns into nitrogen. And they then say you can measure the difference between the two types and you can work out the age. But listen, you cannot measure age. Age is not a substance, is it? Carbon's a substance. Radioactive elements are substances. You can measure those substances, but you cannot measure age. You cannot do it. And you have to base those measurements on assumptions. In the early part of the 1980s, you might have witnessed or saw the scenes of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And as a result of that great eruption, that volcano erupting, lava was poured forth. And when the lava was poured forth, it cooled down, it solidified, and rocks were formed. And those rocks were formed between 1980 and 1986. They took some of those rocks, and using their dating methods, they came up with a figure saying that those rocks were between 340,000 years and 2.8 million years old. And yet they had only been formed between 1980 and 1986. You see, these methods have been proved unreliable because you cannot measure the age of something. You cannot measure the age of something. And you've got to rest it on a whole lot of assumptions. You've got to base it on the assumption of what they call uniformity. In other words, all the processes in the world, all the levels of carbon in the atmosphere have remained at the same level all the way through time. But hold on a minute. You take a cow that has died. And what if that cow died just before it had a great big feed of plants and grass? Those plants and grass contain carbon. That's putting more carbon into its system. And then it died. Maybe it choked on a weed or something and it died. And it just happened to have a greater amount of carbon just because it's intake. You see, they've got to make assumptions. They've got to make assumptions. And all these dating methods are based on assumptions. They are not reliable. And they cannot prove the origin, how this world originated, nor can they prove how old it is. And yet we hear them come on the television and they tell us quite dogmatically, this rock is so many billions of years old. Ha, you do not know. You do not know. No scientist can prove it. For he wasn't there. He didn't observe it. But the second thought is this, true science will not contradict the Bible's teaching. The Bible does not teach that the world is billions of years old. The Bible gives us chronological dates. And the Bible tells us that the world was created in 6 days. And when you take all the dates that are given in the Bible and you add them all together, it comes to just over 6,000 years in total. I'm not going to go through it this morning, but I've drawn out a list for you, and you can pick it up on your way out. And you'll see in this list that you've only a few references in the Bible to turn up. There's only a few chapters. Genesis 1, Genesis 5, Genesis 11, Genesis 12. Some verses in Exodus, some verses in 1 Kings 6, some verses in 1 Kings 11, some verses in Ezekiel 4, and then Matthew 1. And when you look at those verses, those references, you will find all the list of years and dates, times that are given. And when you add them all up, it comes to the total of 6,000. Well, in biblical times, it's 4,000. But when you add 2,008 years since, you add that together, you come to a total of just over 6,000 years. 6,011 years. There may be a few years either side of that. But the Bible teaches that the earth is relatively young. The world is not billions of years old. True observation and experimentation will not contradict what the Bible teaches. It cannot tell us how old or how young the earth is. I want to emphasize that. But when you begin to observe this world around us and the evidence that we have in the present, when you begin to observe those things, you'll find that those observations will not contradict what the Bible says. For instance, if you take what's known as the magnetic field of the earth, you know that which causes the needle in the compass to point north. It's because there's a magnetic field around the earth. Scientists have been observing over the last 160 odd years that the magnetic field of the earth is decreasing. Now what that simply means is, if the magnetic field of the earth is at its highest point, there would be so much heat, there would be so much activity caused by heat in this world, that it would make this world unstable. But if you go to the opposite end, if the magnetic field reaches zero strength, its minimum strength, it indicates it would bring about a situation where there would be not enough protection from the harmful cosmic radioactive rays that are coming from the atmosphere and coming from outer space. And life could not be sustained. Now what they've found is that the strength of that field is decreasing. And they've been measuring it. And they have worked out that from the maximum right down to the minimum is only about a time period of 30,000 years. And they reckon on the calculations that they have at the present that this field will reach zero strength, its minimum strength, at 10,000 years AD. Just about 8,000 years from now. So you've nothing to worry about. I don't think you'll be living at that time somehow. But you see what I'm saying? When you look at the world around you and you observe certain things in the world, it doesn't give the idea of millions or billions of years. It confirms what the Bible is saying. It does not contradict what the Bible is saying. Take another observation. Scientists know that the sea is increasing in its saltiness. Salt goes into the sea in different ways. Through rocks and sediment flowing through rivers into the sea, atmospheric volcanic ice falling from the atmosphere into the sea, the sediment on the sea floor, it's all putting salt into the sea. Now, it's true to say that there's salt that is omitted from the sea, like through sea spray and what they call ion exchange. But they have measured that the amount of salt going into the sea compared with the amount of salt going out of the sea is three times greater. Now you just take this figure of billions of years. If that's been going on for billions of years, the sea would have reached its point of saturation a long, long, long time before this. But that's not the case. And it's still got a long way to go before it reaches that point of saturation where it cannot take any more salt. Take another example, creature life. They tell us today that there are 6 billion people on the earth. Well, if human life was formed billions of years ago, you would expect to find a lot more people on the earth. Some scientists in America did a study very recently from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And they took the present number of people on the earth and they worked out that the world's present population descended from a single person. Guess how many years? 3,500 years ago. That's how long it would take, starting from one person or two people, to bring about a population of 6 billion. Only 3,500 years ago. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the current population of the world has descended from two people. Who? Noah and his wife. How long ago did Noah live? You trace the genealogies, you follow the chronological chart in the Bible, and you'll find that Noah lived from after the time of the flood 4,500 years ago. You see what I'm saying? When you look at these evidences that we have now in the present and you observe them, the data, the information that they yield to us does not contradict what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches. Because true science cannot contradict the revelation of God's Word. We have nothing to fear from science. Science is knowledge. And true knowledge comes from the Lord. He is truth. All knowledge comes from Him. The truth comes from Him. But let me go a little bit further. Even if science could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the world's origin and the world's age was exactly as it said in the Bible. If science could prove that the world was created in 6 literal days and that the world is only about 6,000 years old, if science could prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, man would not believe. I'm saying that science cannot prove those things. Scientific observation can confirm, and it will not contradict what the Bible says, but it cannot prove those things beyond a shadow of a doubt. But even if it could prove, if it could prove the world was created in 6 days, only 6,000 years ago, man would not believe it. Man would not believe it. I say that because man has something infinitely better than his own scientific observations. Man has the word of the Creator Himself. And that word is the eyewitness record. It is the eyewitness account. The Creator has told us how He created in 6 days, what He created and how He did it. And He has told us how old this earth is, recording the ages of the people who have lived from the time of Adam right down to the time when the Lord Jesus came into this world. The Bible has the eyewitness account. It has the record of the Creator. Genesis chapter 1 is not the record of man. Yes, Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, but he wrote what God gave him to write. Moses was not there. Moses did not observe how this world was created in 6 days. He did not see it, but God told him what happened, and God, under divine inspiration, governed and guided Moses to write exactly what he wrote, so that what he wrote was the very word of God Himself, the eyewitness account of the Creator. And man has that account, and yet he does not believe. But added to that, the Creator has come in the flesh. And the Creator has come among man in the flesh, and He has confirmed what the written word has said. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And the Apostle John says in the opening verse, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Word, sum total of all knowledge. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Notice the Word is a person. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He made all things." Now look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Who is the Word? He's the Creator of all things. There wasn't anything made without Him. He made all things. And He came in the flesh. And He stood among men. He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, came and stood among men in the flesh. And He who made the multitudes, the billions upon billions of stars that fill the galaxies of outer space, He who gave them all their names, came in the flesh and stood among men and spoke to them. And He who made the sun and the moon, and He who made the earth and the dry land and the sea with its multitude of sea creatures and the fowls of the air and the creatures upon the land, He came and stood among men in the flesh. And you know what He said to them? He said to them in John chapter 8 and verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am. I was in existence before Abraham was in this world." Go all the way back to the days of Abraham. Jesus Christ says, "Before Abraham was, I am." You know what He said in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 18? He said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven." We do not know how long it was after creation that Lucifer fell, but it wasn't very long. The Lord Jesus said, "I beheld, I watched it, I observed Lucifer, and I saw Satan as he drew a third of the angelic host with him. I beheld him cast out of heaven." I was there. He who is the Creator of all things has come in the flesh and stood among men, and He has said, "I am the Creator. I was before Abraham. I was there when Satan fell." Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10, He talks about the creation, the beginning of the creation. "He that made them at the beginning made them male and female." You know what He was saying? He was saying, "I did this." On the sixth day, after I had made everything else, the angelic hosts, heavens and the earth, the dry land, the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the vegetation, the grass, the trees, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the land creatures, after I had made it all, on the sixth day, I made them male and female. That's what He's saying. The Creator has come among men, and He has stood among men in the flesh, and He has borne witness to the written word, the eyewitness account of the Creator that He gave to His servants to communicate the writing. He says, "I have come, and I am the Creator." He has stood among men. Even if science could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that what the Bible says is right, the world was created in 6 days, only 6,000 years ago, if science could prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, men would not believe. because the very one who made it all has stood among men in the flesh and borne witness to the fact that He is the Creator. And yet, what did they do? They took the Creator and they nailed Him to the cross. He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. He came on to His own and His own received Him not. And they said, away with this man. Crucify Him. I tell you today, you cannot have any greater evidence than the eyewitness account and testimony of the Creator Himself. But man's response has been to nail Him to the cross. The creature nailed the Creator to the tree. You see, the problem is the depraved heart of man. And the great need that man has is not to build a tunnel 17 miles long under Geneva and France and to spend £5 billion on an experimentation to find out what happened after the Big Bang. The need of man is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Regeneration. And you know the only person who can do that work of creation in the heart? Guess who it is? The Creator. The Creator. If any man be in Christ, what does Paul say? He is a new creature, a new creation. Bring all the evidence you can, and it will not convince men that God created. You need the work of regeneration in the hearts of men. And that work brings the heart into a new and into a right relationship with the God of creation. You remember when Nicodemus came and he said, Lord, we know that You're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do these miracles. The Lord Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you know what you need? You need to be born again. You need to be born again. No amount of evidences, none of those things will convince the depraved, fallen hearts of men. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, creating a new heart. Paul says, beware of this. The oppositions of science, falsely so called. Because through these, some who have professed the faith have erred from the faith. Watch out for these things. Know that science can never prove the age or the origin of the world. Know that true science will not contradict the Bible's testimony. But remember this, that all the scientific experiments in the world, no matter how much they agree and confirm the Bible, they will not convince or change the hearts of fallen men. Man's need is regeneration. Ye must be born again. Greatest need that each one of us have is to be born again of the Spirit. The greatest need that our children and our families need is to be born again of the Holy Spirit. The greatest need of every man and woman and young person round about us today is to be born again of the Spirit of God. And for that we should pray. And we must ever keep that before us. Ye must be born again.